Wow. 2 years. I cannot believe it's been 2 years that I've been here for the first time. It is amazing. And in those 2 years, we develop a relationship that is more than holy. It's amazing. And I want to talk a little bit about this. I want to talk about holy relationships. A holy relationship. So if you're thinking about it, this is the theme for today. We're going to talk about holy relationships. And for 2 years, I was here with my family, and I started to get to know some of you, and you started to get to know a little bit of me. And by now you will know that I love barbecues, and I make the best barbecues in the world. And if you've been to my house and had a barbecue with us, you know that I love meat, and meat is very much part and parcel of me and who I am. And if there isn't meat in a meal, it's not a meal, it's a snack. And I know some of the things about you that make you you. And during those times, we had some fun together. I remember one day I was due to preach. And Jordan came and gave me the mic, and I really needed to go to the loo. And then I thought, why should I go to? I really want this song is really good. I'll wait for the time of prayer, and then I'll go to the loo. And then I went to the loo just as things started to go quiet here, and then I came back, and then there were some stairs. And I was like, "Well, what's happening? What's happening?" And Ellie looked at me and said, "Were you having a drink?" I said, "No, I wasn't having a drink. I was in the loo. I was having a wee." I said, "Everybody knows." I don't know if you remember that day. I don't know if you remember. Everybody knows you were having a wee. We heard. And then I was like, oh no. So from that day onwards, Jordan would not give me a mic until I had been to the toilet. And you may know some of those stories. You may know some of those stories that my Tasia was gunged here for the first time. And Alana was dedicated here. Just a few months ago, my parents are here for the dedication just before Christmas. We've grown to love you, and you've grown to love us because we were walking together. We were walking together. And I just want to talk about some of the things that I've been thinking about for the past 2 years, about having a real relationship with God. And if you have your Bibles and you could open it on Genesis chapter 12, we're going to read a few verses together to start with. Genesis chapter 12, starting from verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make you a great name, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Let's pray. Father, we pray that we hear your words. We pray that we hear your call. We pray that we hear you speaking to us today. In your name. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have heroes, Bible heroes, that I love to go back to every now and again and re-study their lives and how God took them from where they were to the person that they should have been, the person that God imagined them to be. And Abraham, or Abram here, is one of them. Abraham is the father of the three biggest religions in the world. If you put together Jews, Muslims and Christians, we have more or less about half of the population of the world. Half of the population of the world worship because of this man. Because of this man, because of God's call in his life. And it's really interesting that when God called Abraham, he said, I will. You go there, and then I will do this. And then you go there, and I will do that. And then you go there, and I will do that through you. I love this I will, because it shows that God is interested. God is interested in a real relationship with Abraham here, but not just with Abraham, with every single one of us. He's interested in a real holy relationship, not just with Abraham, but with every single one of us. Before I became a Christian, and after a while that I had become a Christian, I thought the relationship with God was a little bit like this. God is sitting up there in heaven, and I'm down here on earth. And if I manage to get everything right, he's not going to smite me. So I live my life in fear. In fear that one day I was going to do something really seriously wrong. And God was, I was waiting for that. Cha! Power, power, power! Fire, fire, fire! Kapooch wrath! That's how I thought life was with God. And then I discovered that God was very different from watching wrath and writing the list of everything I had done wrong to smite me with his power and kapooch wrath. Actually, he was much more interested in developing a friendship with me so that I could become the person he had dreamt. He had made me to be. He had produced me to be. He had put all those gifts in me so that I could develop them and walk alongside him. And for us, as a church, there are three things that I want to talk about specifically for us as a group. The first is the one that I've already said. We, as individuals, have to develop a relationship with God. A relationship with God that is not based on fear, but is based on love. It's based on love. I will transform you. I will make this. The people who bless you will be blessed, and I will be really cross to the people who don't bless you, because you are my daughter and my son. We heard about Jesus calling his disciples, and I love when Jesus goes to call Peter, and he's walking around on the seashore, and then Peter is fishing. And Jesus walks along and comes and says to Peter, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. Come and walk alongside me. Come and be my friend and I will transform your life. So how do we develop this relationship with God? There is no troubly hard answer to that. You abide by him. You abide by him. You pray. You read his word. You listen. You're quiet. You sing. You gather together with others who love him. You abide by him. God wants your time. God wants your life, your heart. There is no other way. You follow his commands. You go and I will come with you. That's what God says. He's asking, you go and I will come. It's amazing. you devote and you give your life to Him, and He comes. The only person that can stop God's work in your life is yourself. Because the relationship is between you and God. It's you and God. So we call it the vertical relationship, you and God. It's not a very good analogy, because God is not vertical. He's not up there somewhere. He's here. He's living inside of you. He was given to you. But it's between you and God. The next point is this is so simple. It's so simple. God calls us into a relationship with each other. Read here. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. He's saying there are relationships that you're going to have to develop with other people. And these other people will come to worship me as well. Some of them won't, but some of them will. And Jesus then comes along and tells us that this is the church. This is the church. We're reading Acts 4. If you read the beginning of the church, it's an amazing picture of people gathering together because they have a relationship with Jesus, and they want to gather together because the relationship with Jesus brings them together. And they share everything together. Actually, let's read the passage, Acts 4, if you have your Bible with you. It's a beautiful description. Let me just make sure that I'm reading from the right verse to start with. Acts 4:32. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of the Lord, and much grace was upon them. There was no needy person among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it in the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had a need. Do you know what happens when we start to have a real relationship with God? We start to see the need around us, and we start to do something about it. And we are all needy people. I am a needy person. I need affirmation. I need affirmation. If you don't come to me and say, "Good job, Raf," I start to get, "Ooh, they don't like me."
Good job, Raf.
You know, my wife needs cuddles. If I don't cuddle her, she starts to think, "Oh, he doesn't love me." You know what your needs are. God has made us differently with specific gifts and needs. But we are all needy people. But once we are together worshipping the Lord, we start to see the needs of each other. We start meeting those needs. And here are very specific needs. Some people are going hungry. You know, we need to feed the hungry. And we do that. I saw the little bags for food from Edengate. And I love that as a church, we support that work. But there is much, 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 much need that we are not yet meeting. If you just get out of here onto the streets and start talking to people, you will see that there is huge need that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to go out and meet. But we in here, first, we need to be of one mind, the mind of Christ, united in Him with one heart, building each other up. Building each other up. I remember when I was building my kitchen, and there were a couple of things I knew how to do, and there was quite a lot I didn't know how to do. As any good Christian would do, I prayed, "Lord, send someone to help me. Oh Lord, this kitchen is not going anywhere. It's been 6 months. We haven't had a proper meal." You guys remember? I was losing. I was like wasting away. Yeah. It's amazing what not eating for 6 months does to you. You start praying a lot more. You start praying a lot. And then we had people. My neighbor came around and gave me a hand. And he was a good builder. Knew what to do. Lynn came around and put some plumbing for me. Showed me how to do a couple of bits that I didn't know how to do. And others sent food down. I remember one it was a very nice Christmas meal that Nick had cooked, and boy, I enjoyed that. Oh, it was delicious. It was great. And I put Ellie's plate in the microwave, and I needed to warm up a cup of tea at one point before Ellie came home from work, from school. And I took her food out in the microwave and put it on the side, and put the cup on the microwave to warm my tea up to have. And when I turned around, the food was gone. And Molly was on the side. My dog, Molly, was on the side. She hadn't had a nice meal for 6 months. Ellie was so sad that day. Molly had eaten her nice Christmas meal. But we start to see the needs. We start to see the needs, and we start meeting them. Because of our relationship with God, and because of our relationship with each other, which is born of love. But our relationship with God and our relationship with each other will be pointless if we don't do the third point. I'm doing the Baptist minister thing, going for 3 points. God calls us into a relationship with the world. The call for Abram was, you will be a blessing, not to the Jewish people, not to the Christians and to the Muslims and to the Jews, but to the world. You will be a blessing to the world. To the world. So if all we do is to have a relationship with God and then have a relationship with each other, a nice relationship here, and forget to get out of here and be a blessing out there.
Yeah.
We stop the blessing. We stop the relationship. We completely stop God's grace from flowing, because we did not get out there. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Well, most of you can recite it by memory. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mount where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." Go. We heard a really good sermon in Naturally Supernaturally about going. And the name of the sermon was Go Home! And he talked about half an hour about going home. Because if we just keep whatever God is doing here among ourselves, we just stop the blessing from flowing and we're not fulfilling Jesus' own orders. Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And you know, for some of us, that will be any specific call. For some of us, God will bring some people who love Him and who want to give them their whole lives to Him and want to go and train and become a missionary and go to a different part of the world and preach the good news there. I mean, God brought me from Brazil. God brought me. He's got good sense of humor. He's brought me from Brazil here to be here with you and share the good news. But at the same time, God will spare people who love Him and who want to devote their whole lives to Him and worship Him to stay exactly where they are so they can then share the good news with the people who are around them. And only you know who those people are. Because I don't live with you 24 hours a day, thank goodness. But God does. And He knows who are the people who He's bringing to you. Three simple points. God wants a relationship with you. God wants you to have a relationship with His church. And God wants you out in the world sharing His love with everyone you meet. So lives can be transformed. People can get healed. Families who were broken can come back. Parents and children who don't know how to speak can speak again. People who are in terrible debt can come out of debt. And unless we as a church step out of here and go and do those things, I'm not just saying us, I'm saying the whole church of God. And you know what? We gotta love the whole church of Christ in all its entirety, the whole church of Christ in the whole world with all its differences and all its craziness, the whole family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are called to love these people. We can be family everywhere we go. And then go in search for those parts of the family who are not yet home. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have called us. We thank You that You have called us into a relationship with You. A relationship that it's not about smiting us, but actually about You loving us. Yes, You are the God of wrath, but You are the God of love. And You want us, to love You. Father, we thank You that You also invite us into a relationship with each other, with Your church, through the ages and through the nations, that we have a family that like us love you and want to worship you the best they can. And Father, we thank you that you do not stop there. We thank you that you want us to go out, to look out and see what the need is. And as your people, as your children, go and meet the need. Go into the world and bring the good news of Jesus Christ, of this amazing relationship that you have invited us into. And we pray that as your people, we will have our eyes and our ears and our hearts open to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Slight change of plan for the last song. We're going to sing this as a prayer, really. I just think the words of this are very appropriate after what Raf said, because it talks about ourselves and the world and the church. Lord, for the years, your love has kept and guided. Let's sing this as a prayer for ourselves and for Raf and Ellie and the family as they move down to Castleton. But most of all, to our God, that we will allow him into our lives to change and shape us and use us in his service.